Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. The Supreme Court made a decision today that, or recently, that was perhaps the first step. It's hard to say. Perhaps the first step in a big decision overturning a kind of door-open policy of the Barack Obama administration when it comes to transgender serving in the military. How big of a decision was it and why? We're going to be talking about the Supreme Court's ruling in favor of President Trump's partial ban on transgenders in the military. Elaine Donnelly joins us. She's founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. She's previously served on the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services and on the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Armed Forces. Elaine, welcome back to Issues Etc.
I'm glad to talk to you today.
How big is this Supreme Court decision, and how important is it, how and why?
Well, it's very important because it signals that in the future, when the merits of the case come before the Supreme Court of the United States, it's a better than even bet that the court will rule in favor of the government's position. This means that the policy that Donald Trump put in place with the advice of the former Secretary of Defense, James Mattis, this policy was challenged even before it was formally announced in March of last year, March 2018. And there were four lower court judges that took it on themselves to stop implementation of what would be the Mattis-Trump policy, or the new policy regarding transgenders in the military. And these four district judges issued national injunctions saying, we're going to take control of the military, we're going to set policy, never mind that Article 3 of the Constitution gives to the judiciary zero power to run the military. So in this case, these cases have been winding their way through the courts. This has been going on a long time. And the Department of Justice last December asked the Supreme Court to intervene. They filed two motions. One was to say, take the case right away. The Supreme Court rarely does that, hardly ever. Usually cases wind their way through and then they get to the Supreme Court. The second motion was upheld, and it was to stay those encroaching preliminary injunctions, the ones that had national effect in local cases in four different courtrooms. The Supreme Court said, not so fast. We're going to allow the Trump administration to implement the Trump-Mattis policy pending the litigation as it goes through the courts, and then we'll decide on the merits later. So this is a very important decision because up till now, the Obama policy has been in place. It's as if President Obama and Ashton Carter were still running the Pentagon, even though the president announced a new policy. And now the courts are saying, look, this president has as much power as the previous president did. And that should be respected. The courts should respect that and defer to the president, the elected branches of government. And so, this is a key decision. It's a very good thing.
So what exactly did President Trump's policy reverse? What was the Obama policy?
The Obama policy was that even if you have gender dysphoria, if you say that you're transgender, and even if you have a psychological condition called gender dysphoria, you could serve. You could stay in the military, and they also put as part of their policy that in July of 2017, you could recruit new people to come into the military who suffer or have been diagnosed with gender dysphoria. That was delayed because the Secretary of Defense, the military people, the leaders said, we have problems. We don't know how we're going to implement this. And the Secretary of Defense said, wait a minute, weren't you consulted in this policy? And the answer came back saying, no. The reason I mention this is because Secretary Mattis said this in response to questions from Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York. She was trying to get him to say something else, and what he said on the record was, no, the military officials of the previous administration were not free to dissent. The order was, you will go along with it no matter what. The policy was announced without any real study. Trump has done more of a study than President Obama did. And yet, that was the policy that was in place, and the lower courts upheld it. So along comes President Trump. He announced in tweets, the tweets did not make policy, but he said, we're not going to have any transgenders in the military. Well, that's not the official policy. What happened was they did a study, and it went on for 6 months. The Trump-Mattis policy takes a nuanced approach, and it works like this. There's three different things. It allows persons identifying as transgender, but without gender dysphoria, the psychological condition, to serve in their biological gender if they have been stable for 36 months, 3 years, and meet requirements for deployability. Okay, that's the part where it's not a total ban. That's why the Department of Defense says it's not a total ban. The second part of it is that it does disqualify persons with gender dysphoria for military service. And there's a third exception. It's a grandfather clause saying that personnel who identified themselves as transgender during the previous administration, they can remain in the military. They will not be affected in any way. So those were the three things that Secretary Mattis brought to the president in February of last year. The president endorsed that policy March 23rd. We have analyzed it. If you look at the webpage of the Center for Military Readiness, CMR, it's www.cmrlink.org. You can see all the details and the reasons why the Department of Defense recommended this policy and why the president endorsed it.
So before we take this break, this is a compromise, in technically speaking, on the part of the Trump administration. They have, as the word you use there, they nuanced the policy.
Right.
And that is exactly what the court was dealing with, this compromise position, not with a total ban.
Well, it's a position that's based on a medical condition. The plaintiffs are arguing that it's a class thing, that anyone who says they're transgender, that means they're going to be discriminated against. It's a civil rights issue. That's their argument. But I believe the Supreme Court saw it as the Department of Justice presented it. This is not a class issue. It's not a civil rights issue. It's a matter of a medical condition that renders a person ineligible to serve in the military. There are lots of conditions, physical and psychological, that if you are diagnosed with certain problems, you are not eligible to serve in the armed forces. It is not just another job. It's not an equal opportunity employer. This president, any president, has the right to determine what are the eligibility requirements of the armed forces. The judges should not be deciding this as a civil rights matter. So with this policy, you notice that it's based on this medical condition, gender dysphoria. The courts have seen the logic of that. I should mention, too, that about a week or two ago, the Court of Appeals for the Washington, D.C. District Court, these names get complicated, but it's the Court of Appeals that is over the Washington, D.C. Court. This Court of Appeals also ruled in the president's favor. So that's one court of appeals. There's two more to deal with, one in California, one in the Fourth Circuit, having to do with Maryland. So eventually, this issue will get to the Supreme Court. It's not settled yet. But at least the administration has the option to start implementing the Trump-Mattis policy and not continue on with the Carter-Obama policy.
We're talking about the Supreme Court's ruling in favor of President Trump's partial ban on transgenders in the military. Elaine Donnelly is our guest, founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. We'll talk about why no one has a right to military service and why transgenderism would render someone ineligible.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you make a New Year's resolution to get in shape this year? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness at Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness can help you keep your New Year's resolution. Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. PerformanceFitness618.com.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Elaine Donnelly is our guest, founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. She previously served on the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services and on the Presidential Commission on Assignment of Women in the Armed Forces. Elaine, it sounds as though the Trump administration, at least in the minds of the Supreme Court at this point, has been able to properly frame this question, not as a civil rights issue, but as an issue of eligibility to serve in the military. Should we proceed on the notion that beginning that no one has a right to serve in the military?
Well, that is something that I think we forget. The military is there to defend the country. Civil rights laws do not apply in the armed forces, and there's a reason for that. We send people off to defend our country. Their lives are put at risk. You can't run it like a labor union would and have rules to protect people in the military. They're there to serve our country, and that's why we honor and respect them so much. But if people think that the military should be used for reasons of social experiments or advancing careers, civil rights, they really are on the wrong track. The Mattis policy, the recommendations, put as the highest priority mission readiness and combat lethality. That phrase is shown in the report from the Department of Defense throughout. And they also did something that has never been done before. They looked at actual data on the experience of people who revealed themselves to be transgender and received treatment during those months when the Obama-Carter policy was in effect. And they reported this, that there were 994 active duty service members who were diagnosed with gender dysphoria. This group, 994 people, accounted for 30,000 mental health visits. And they found that the costs for these individuals was nearly three times an increase, 300% increase in the cost of medical care. The Army and the Air Force, the average lost time was 167, 159 days of limited duty, respectively. That's a pretty long period of time. It doesn't matter how good a soldier you are if you're not there because you've lost time, you're having treatments. The hormone treatments have side effects. Surgery certainly can have a person out of service for a long time, many months at a time. The policies in place under Obama even allowed lengthy periods of time, 3 to 6 months, to take time off to decide whether or not you wanted to undergo transition. These lengthy periods of absence affect everyone else. It affects military readiness. And so it's the kind of thing that although everybody can serve our country in some way, people who have medical conditions that affect deployability, that's a different category of concern. There's also some other issues that have been discussed, the issues of privacy. If you have biological males in the private facilities of women in the military, they don't have the option to just up and leave, of course. They live in the quarters provided for them by the military. The recommendation of the previous administration was, well, get used to it. Privacy is not a concern because the cause of civil rights for people who are confused about gender identity, that would be the primary consideration. At least that's how it was under Obama and Ashton Carter. So this president is saying, no, military readiness is going to come first. And I think it has a very solid chance of being upheld by the Supreme Court. But I think everybody in Congress and people observing on the outside have to understand we can have a lot of sympathy. We can certainly be concerned about anyone who has a psychological condition, including one such as this that has a very high risk of suicide. Some of the data that was shown in the report from the Department of Defense showed 8 or 9 times the risk of suicide among people with gender dysphoria compared to service members that were not diagnosed with the psychological condition. Depression, anxiety, substance abuse, these are other disorders that are often associated with this. So again, we can be very concerned about these individuals. They certainly deserve competent medical care, psychological care, but the military, it's not a proper role for the military to take on the burden of providing the lengthy and very expensive treatments, even surgeries, to people who are confused about gender identity. And perhaps you're aware that there's been many news stories about people having regrets about this course of treatment. It's become very controversial, and I think the Department of Defense has done the right thing in recognizing that.
Elaine Donnelly is founder and president of the Center for Military Readiness. She previously served on the Defense Advisory Committee on Women in the Services and on the Presidential Commission on the Assignment of Women in the Armed Forces. You'll find a link to the Center for Military Readiness at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Elaine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, Hour 2 of Issues Etc. will be continuing our series on Lutheran catechesis. We'll talk about the necessity of the divine service. Pastor Peter Bender, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, will be our guest.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.